You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, Anika had her weekly catch-up with the National Party's Dr. Shane Retty. This week, they discuss crime prevention measures and New Zealand's relations with the Pacific.
So I think the announced $6 million to try and reduce the ram raid crime, particularly in Auckland, is really too little too late. It's $6 million for effectively strobe lights and fog cannons, and that's not going to stop a driver coming through the door. So really too little too late and a little disappointing. I mean, any funding that will go towards the protection of property and persons is welcome, but, you know, this should have been there a long time ago.
So what would you suggest? How would this money be better spent?
So I think there is a financial contribution, but there's also some policy items that should be looked at. There should be a strengthening of the firearms prohibition orders, which gives police a wider range of powers to address this sort of crime. Should look further at a dedicated gang task force, and there probably needs to be some review of the police pursuit policy, given the fact that 83% of fleeing drivers are never arrested. So I think there's some policy items beside the financial contributions that need to be looked at.
In this case, if we're talking about ram raids in particular, you know, things like a gang task force, etc., are we saying that it's all gang related or?
No, not at all. What we are saying is that certainly crime has a relationship to gang activity, and it's quite possible that if we do a better job with gang activity, then these other measures of criminal actions will reduce, like ram raids will reduce as well. And it also talks to the need to be looking at, because we understand that a large number of the ram raid drivers are younger people, and there needs to be some look at how we can do a better job to support young people and the families of those young people so that they choose a different pathway rather than a ram raid.
Right, and I do want to get back to that, but just quickly, so talking about increasing police powers, Chester Burrows, the leader of the government's Safe and Effective Justice Advisory Group, has sort of expressed concern for many that if police powers were to be increased, those increased powers, or like the maximum they can do, will just become the default. Do you share those concerns?
Well, I think certainly there always needs to be appropriate scrutiny across the House and with the community on any increase in police powers, but we need to balance that with the safety of citizens as well. And what we've found before is that when there's appropriate checks and balances, that policies can be put in place that do make a difference. So I agree we need to take into account any time we increase police powers, but that needs to be balanced against citizen safety.
How would the National Party try to approach the core of these issues?
So we'd be wanting to identify root cause, source for the situation we find ourselves in, looking at the families, what support do they need? What are the issues that have directed the children in this way? We need to better identify, primarily at a family basis, a whānau basis, maybe even at a hapū basis, what the issues are that are creating this activity. And it's not clear to us that there's a deep exploration of these issues.
So you'd like to see some investment into the social factors?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you can do one end. It really would be ambulance at the bottom of the cliff if you're just attending to those who, for want of a better word, are caught or not caught. We need to drive deeper into the social fabric of these families and figure out how we can support them so that their children make a different choice.
Now, I would like to move on to concerns and accusations that have been raised around the current government neglecting Pacific partnerships and the fears that cause with China's increasing influence in the region. Do you think you could give us sort of a bit of an overview of these concerns?
So there are across the House concerns expressed about the increasing presence of China in the region. And we have particular concerns for some of our smaller partners in the Pacific, our Pacific neighbours, who through no circumstance of their own may find themselves in economic distress and may be seeking to remedy that with alliances that wouldn't normally sit within our region. We like to think they'd reach towards us, they'd reach towards Australia in their time of need. But that cuts two ways. We have to be receptive and we have to be out engaging with our Pacific neighbours and showing that we truly are part of a Pacific family. And it's not clear to us that our representatives in the Pacific have done that. In fact, if anything, it looks like we're late to this piece. A good example is the Australian Foreign Minister, who's been out and about in the Pacific, only newly elected, out and about in the Pacific, and we just look like we're a little slow in this space.
Right, because from what I'm seeing of these criticisms, it looks like a lot of the perceived neglect comes down to the fact we haven't visited physically the Pacific for a while, and I know that COVID has affected that as well, but do you think that, you know, we can't maintain these relationships without physically being there?
Yes, I do. I think we do need to be kanohi ki te kanohi. We do need to be face-to-face. And yes, we do look like we're slow and late to the Pacific scenario. By way of comparison, I understand Damien O'Connor has done almost double the number of international visits that the Foreign Affairs Minister has. And again, look at the Australian presence, newly elected, out and about in the Pacific. We look like we're late to this dance.
Now, there have been those leaked documents that have revealed that Beijing is proposing a deal with almost a dozen Pacific nations, offering sort of police training, biometrics, trade arrangements. I mean, what are the chances that you think something like this could go through in the current climate?
So we respect the right of every sovereign nation to make sovereign decisions in their own interest. I think what we need to be looking at is how we can make sure that we're collaborative partners with Pacific nations, that they turn to us first and they find a warm and receptive partner with a long track record before they maybe start looking further afield for assistance.
So essentially you think we need to be investing more time there, going there, having more face-to-face?
We need to be doing a lot more for Pacific nations. It's very much about the in-person communication and connections, and we need to show that we are the warm and trusted family members we have always been.
Right, and do you think that, you know, the Pacific Islands Forum, that could be an effective place to discuss this? Because I know that that's something the government's kind of looking at the moment as well.
I think there are opportunities when the Pacific nations come together, but we shouldn't wait for that. As I say, we are late. Other jurisdictions have already been and are out in the Pacific. We don't seem to be. So, yes, that's a good one place for them, but let's not wait for that. Let's be out and about now. In fact, maybe we should have been out and about before now.
And are you confident in the economic alliance that was signed pretty recently between the United States and almost a dozen Asia-Pacific nations? Are you confident that that could strengthen ties and pull the influence away from China?
I think what we need to be looking at is our relationship with these countries, and particularly our relationship with the US as our third largest trading partner. And it would be good to be thinking we might be heading some way towards a free trade agreement with the US. It seems unlikely we're going to be able to pull them into the reformed, comprehensive and progressive trade alliance that we'd like them to be a part of, that they pulled out of. I think that would be our preference. But failing that, we need to be looking at a free trade agreement ourselves.
That was Anika speaking to Nationals Dr. Shane Reti about the crime prevention measures and New Zealand's relations with the Pacific.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.